بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. We continue then with the explanation of the Aqidah of the great Imam Imam al-Muzani rahimahullah ta'ala. We've reached a section where the Imam he mentions the Quran. He said, والقرآن كلام الله عز وجل من لدنه وليس بمخلوق فيبيت. He said that indeed the Quran is the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal. It emanated from him and it is not created, so it will not perish. And that, brothers and sisters, is the aqidah and the belief of Ahlul Sunnah. That is that the Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, uncreated. And it was a statement that the earlier scholars used to mention in their books of aqidah and belief, that we believe that the Quran is the speech of Allah, uncreated. And that, no doubt, was to respond to a number of groups from among the deviant sects. Those who claimed that the Quran was not the speech of Allah. From them, we had those who negated the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal, negating the Quran. And from them were those who affirmed that it was the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they claim that it was created. For example, the Mu'tazila, they used to hold that the Quran is the speech of Allah, but it was created. The Ash'aris, they likewise used to believe, and still believe, that the Quran is ibara an kalam ilah, that it is an expression of the speech of Allah. It isn't actually the speech of Allah. So it is representative of the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal, but it is not the actual speech of Allah, because they say if we affirm this, then it necessitates likening Allah Azza wa Jal to His creation. In terms of the belief of these two groups, then the scholars mentioned that actually the Mu'tazila are better than the Ash'ariyah in that regard. Because the Mu'tazila, they affirm at least that it is the speech of Allah, except that they say that it is created. While the Ash'ariyah in actuality, when they say, make the statement that it is ibara an kalam Allah, or it is representative of the speech of Allah, it isn't the speech of Allah, in essence they negate the Quran being the speech of Allah in completion. Now scholars mention that negation is something that has evil ramifications. The promised evil ramifications is that negating the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala necessitates negation of the Shara, negation of the Sharia. Because if we say that the Quran is not the speech of Allah, then everything that is within it likewise is to be rejected. It is not considered the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore everything that is within it is to be rejected, or is to be taken with a pinch of salt. Since it isn't the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal. As far as the Mu'tazila though, then they used to believe that it is the speech of Allah, but their statement was that it is created. And that, no doubt, the Quran is great evil, kufr. Since it has in it the attribution or the claim that the Quran, it is something created. And since the Quran came from Allah Azza wa Jalla, it is His speech, then to claim that it is created is to attribute to Allah Azza wa Jalla, to say that something from His names and attributes is created. Kufr. And so, we negate that in totality, and we hold, as is the position, was the position of Ahlul Sunnah throughout time. And that is, that it is the speech of Allah uncreated. And the scholars would say, مِنْهُ بَدَى وَإِلَيْهِ يَعُودُ, that it began and it came and emanated from Him and it will return to Him. That is, our belief is that close to Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah Azza wa Jalla will take His Qur'an, and that Ahlul Ard, and the people of the dunya, will open the Qur'an, open the Masahif, and not find in it any word. That is, Allah Azza wa Jal will lift and bring His, raise His speech. And that there, the Quran is from the signs of the extreme closeness of the hour. So our belief then is that the Qur'an is the Kalam of Allah, and that which establishes it is the likes of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَيَأَعَدُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرْهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. That if one of the mushrikeen seek to be close or nearness to you, then let him be close to you, and allow him to be in close proximity to you, so that he may hear the speech of Allah. So that he may hear the speech of Allah. And that one is from the things that establish that the kalam, that the Quran is the kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it is uncreated. As far as the sifa of the characteristic of a kalam, then it is from those characteristics that our scholars, they say it is a sifa dhatiya fi'liya. It is a sifa dhatiya fi'liya. Yani, it is from the sifat that are both dhatiya, in that it returns back to the essence of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it is fi'liya, that is, it returns back to the action and the fi'l of Allah Subhanahu. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, when he wills to speak, then he does so. And the attributes that return back to the fi'l of the actions of Allah Azza wa Jal, our scholars, they say, they have a connection to the mashi'ah of the will of Allah. Anything that is related to an attribute connected to Allah's actions, then they are related to the will of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. That is to say, that Allah does that thing when He wills, as He wills. And not all of the sifat, not all of the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal return back to action. For example, the face of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, we affirm it, we believe in it, and we believe that it is an attribute of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala that we affirm. But it is not connected and related to Allah's actions. Rather, it is what is known as a sifa dhatiya. That is, it is an attribute related to the essence of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is from the attributes of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala that are not connected to Allah's actions. It is His face. Therefore, we do not say that it is related to His mashi'ah or to His will. Any action though, or any attribute that is an action, and the Sunnah, the scholars of the Sunnah mentioned that it is connected to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. That is, Allah Azza wa Jal does that thing when He wills, as He wills. And so Allah's descent in the last third of the night to the lowest heaven, Allah Azza wa Jal, it is an action, therefore we say it is connected to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. He does it when He wills, as He wills. Allah giving mercy and showing mercy to the believers, it is a sifa fi'liya, He does it as He wills and when He wills. Allah Azza wa Jal ascending and rising above the throne, Allah Azza wa Jal, He carried it out when He will, as He will. And so the attributes that are related to the sifat, the actions of Allah Azza wa Jal, they have a connection to the mashi'ah or the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then the Imam, he continues, as-sifat. The reason he began, Ikhwan, with the mention of the Qur'an is because historically, chronologically, the Qur'an, the speech of Allah, was the first of the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal to be spoken against by the people of Narration. The speech of Allah, it was the first of the affairs that were to be that were spoken against by the people of Narration. On the basis of it, there was a great trial that took place during the period and the era of Imam Ahmad. And that is that many of the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah were imprisoned because they used to say that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that, brothers and sisters, was after the death of the great Imam Yazid ibn Harun. Yazid ibn Harun was from the great A'imma of Hadith in the son of Harun al-Rashid. Yazid ibn Harun was from those scholars that the Khalifa used to fear. And so, even though the Aqidah of the Mu'tazila was beginning to become widespread, and people were disseminating it in the ranks of the Muslims, no one really made it apparent because of the presence of the likes of Yazid ibn Harun. But after the death of Yazid ibn Harun, then the Khalifa, he made it apparent. He was encouraged by a number of the people of innovation that were around him, Ibn Abi Duad and others, Amr ibn Ubayd. He was encouraged to make this affair, or to test and to try the people in relation to it. That it is a great fidya upon Allah Azza wa Jal, it is a great crime against Allah, and so the duty of the Khalifa is to try and test the people in regards to this. This is what they inspired the Khalifa with, and so many of the scholars were imprisoned. From them were those who were killed. From them were those who were whipped and punished. Nu'aym ibn Hammad and others, numerous scholars, and scholars of Hadith and Sunnah, and the people of knowledge, they were put on the trial on the basis of it. And due to it, Imam Ahmad Ikhwan was the one from among the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah that went through the well-known trial, or that which was referred to as the Mihna of Imam Ahmad, and that is the Mihna of the Khalq al-Qur'an. The Mihna, or the trial of the claim that the Qur'an was created. Imam Ahmad, he was imprisoned, he was put in shackles, he was placed in jail, he was whipped on numerous occasions, he fell unconscious due to it, and went through numerous years of being placed on the trial because he refused to say that the Qur'an was the speech of Allah created. And that is what they wanted him to say. And so, on the basis then of his aqidah and his firm belief that he had, he remained steadfast and persevered through persecution of almost three of the Khulafa of Bani Umayyah, almost three of them. That is Al-Mutawakkil, Al-Mu'tasim Billah. They were from those Khulafa who punished and had Imam Ahmad in prison. And that was no doubt Ikhwan defending the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning the Quran, concerning the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that was the first of the attributes that the people of innovation began to speak against. And so Imam al-Muzani, he mentioned that prior to entering into a more detailed discussion concerning the Sifat, so he mentioned a Sifat, or Bab al-Sifat, the section related to a Sifat. There is some skepticism as to whether Imam Muzani himself placed the chapter heading, or it was placed by some of the latter scholars. In any case, this section he mentioned, وَكَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ وَكُدْرَةُ اللَّهِ وَنَعْتُهُ وَصِفَاتُهُ كَامِلَاتٌ غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقَاتٌ وَدَائِمَاتٌ أَزَلِيَاتٌ وَلَيْسَتْ بِمَخْلُوقَاتٍ فَتَبِيدٌ وَلَا كَانَ رَبُّنَا نَاقِسًا فَيَزِيدٌ جلت صفاته عن شبه الصفات المخلوقين وقصرت عنه فيطان الواصفين قريب بالإجابة عند السؤال بعيد بالتعزز لا ينال عال على عرشه بائن من خلقه موجود وليس بمعدوم ولا بمفقود. Mentions Ikhwan and establishes that which is related then to the aqidah and the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is that he mentioned that the words of Allah Azza wa Jal and his ability, his description and his attributes are all perfect. And they are not created. They are eternal and everlasting, and they are not newly created so as to perish. So our Lord is not deficient and thus in need of increase. His attributes are far above having any resemblance to the attributes of the creation, and the most intelligent describers cannot comprehend him. He is near in response to those who ask of him, and he is far with might and honor, that no one can reach or attain him. He is above his throne, separate from his creation, and he is in existence and not in non-existence. Yani, that is, Allah Azza wa Jal is not ma'doom. That is, we do not say that he does not exist, nor is he absent. As far as this paragraph then, he establishes by way of Ikhwan that which is related again to the aqidah of the Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is that Allah Azza wa Jal, His words, His ability, His description, everything that is attributed to Him is kamil. And that is a qa'idah and a principle with Ahlul Sunnah. That everything that is attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kamil and complete, perfect. And there is nothing that is deficient within it. And if there is anything that occurs to the minds of the individual from deficiency, or likening Allah Azza wa Jalla to His creation, then the problem is in the mind of the human being, is in the mind of the one who has that issue, and not as it relates to the sifat of Allah Azza wa Jalla itself. And so we do not negate the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla from Him, claiming that Allah Azza wa Jalla affirming the attributes is to liken Him to His creation. Kalla wa hasha. How can that possibly be the case when Allah Azza wa Jal Himself affirmed them in His Qur'an? That Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned He has a face, He has hands, He has feet. That Allah Azza wa Jal speaks, He descends from His throne. All of the attributes that He affirms, we affirm them as He affirms them, and as His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam affirmed them. And that is no doubt in accordance with the qa'id that Ahlul Sunnah and the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah mentioned, نَسِفُ اللَّهُ بِمَا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَبِمَا وَصَفَ بِهِ رَسُولُهُ صلى الله عليه وسلم. That we affirm Allah, and we describe Allah with that which He describes Himself with, and with that which His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم described Him with. And we do not negate from Allah that which He did not negate from Himself. How dare you? After Allah Azza wa Jal, He said that He descends, or that He says, that Allah Azza wa Jal has a face, and that He has eyes. تَجْرِي بِأَعْيُنِنَا. That the ship of Nuh, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, it sails before our eyes. And other than that, how dare you say that it is not as Allah has said? And that, they say, we have to do. Because if we affirm it, then we're going to be likening Allah to His creation. And so as we mentioned, Ikhwan, previously, in actuality, they have fallen into the very thing that they claim to be fleeing from. They claim to be fleeing from likening Allah Azza wa Jalla to His creation, but they actually have fallen into that. And who will remember, Ikhwan, how that is the case? Ahsant. That is, that when they said, تَجْرِي بِأَعْيُنِنَا, that it is the ark, it sails beneath our eyes. A'udhu billah. How can we affirm that it sails beneath our eyes? That Allah Azza wa Jal has eyes. A'udhu billah. This is to liken Allah Azza wa Jal to His creation. So we cannot affirm that. The one who I created with my hand, yani Adam. A'udhu billah. How can we affirm that Allah Azza wa Jal has a hand? It is to liken Allah Azza wa Jalla to His creation. So they began to negate anything from the attributes that mankind likewise have. Not, brothers and sisters, if only they were to understand the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like unto Allah. There is nothing like unto Him. Then when we hear the statement of Allah, تَجْرِي بِأَعْيُنِنَا, that it sails beneath our eyes, then we understand, yes, Allah affirms eyes for Himself, but they are not eyes like our eyes. His face is not like our face. And the problem occurred when you began to make that statement, A'udhu Billah. Because the reason you made that statement was because here, in your minds, you first likened Allah to His creation. And when you first likened Allah Azza wa Jal to His creation, that caused you to negate what you had in your minds. And had you acted upon the statement of Allah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, then there would be no need for any form of negation, negating from Allah Azza wa Jalla that which He affirms to Himself. And then other groups, like the Asha'ira, instead of negating, they follow a different path, and that is to make ta'weel. That is to distort the meaning of these attributes. And so they say, for example, that Allah Azza wa Jal descending is not Allah Azza wa Jal descending, rather it is the power of Allah, or it is the command of Allah that descends, or it is His angels that descend. And when they make that statement, Ikhwan, it is as though they are, and
without doubt tricking the Muslimun into believing that they affirm the names of Allah Azza wa Jal and the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so they say that we affirm that Allah Azza wa Jal, from his sifat, is al-nuzul, descent. But we say that it means that Allah's command descends, or that Allah's angels descend. And that, brothers and sisters, if one studies their statement, you will see in actuality, ikhwan, there are numerous evils that are present within it. Number one, when we say that it is Allah's command that descends, or Allah's angels that descend, if we were to take then their statement, it is Allah's angels that descend, then how do we understand the rest of the hadith? The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, يَنزِلُ رَبُّنَا تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا فِي ثُلُثِ اللَّيْلِ الْآخِرِ. That our Lord, he descends to the lowest heaven in the last third of the night. And he says, is there anyone that will seek forgiveness of me that I may forgive him? Is there anyone that will ask of me that I may give to him? How possibly then are we going to say that it is the angels that descend? Is possible and permissible for the angels to make that statement? Is there anyone that will ask of me that I may forgive him? Is there anyone that may seek something from me that I may bestow it upon him? An angel, anyone of the angels can make that statement? That then, without doubt, is from the evils. Similarly, when we look at the statement that it is not Allah Azza wa Jal who descends, but it is his angels who descend, as we mentioned previously, ikhwan, when we make an interpretation of the meaning of something from other than its actual meaning, whether we realize that or not, we are actually negating. If I were to say, for example, this book is the status of the companions in Islam by Shaykhana Shaykh Rabi' ibn Hadi al-Madkhali, but actually it isn't the status of the companions in Islam, actually it's the Bible. Actually what I have in my hand here is the Bible. When I begin to make that statement and I say that this status of the companions in Islam, you can clearly see that is what is printed on the front. If I open it, that is what is within it, and that is what the Shaykh is speaking about. That is the topic that is within the book. But I say to you emphatically, no, it is the Bible. Just believe me, it's the Bible. And I continue to say it, and I write it in books, and I make articles, and I do lectures and khutbahs about it. This is the Bible, and it is not the makanat as-sahaba, even though this is what is on the book. It is the Bible. And I constantly make that statement. What am I actually doing, ikhwan? Am I not negating the reality of the book? Or am I affirming it? I am negating it by turning your attention away from its true reality to a reality that I am trying to promote to you, and I am trying to give to you and convey to you. And so those who make ta'wil, in actuality they make ta'til. They actually negate, even though it is an interpretation that they are making. And so, ikhwan, Ahlul Sunnah then affirm to Allah Azza wa Jal that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he affirms to himself. And then the Imam, he continues concerning al-ajal wal-khalqu mayyitun bi-ajalihim inda mafadi arzaqihim wa-nqita'i atharihim. This statement, ikhwan, he mentions the appointed time of death, and the creation die at their appointed, or when their appointed time comes to them, and when their sustenance is depleted and their deeds are cut out. And this is one of the beautiful elements of studying the Aqeedah, ikhwan, is that it is not just some exercise that we go through because as Muslims we are supposed to study the Aqeedah. Rather, it is something that we implement, something that we reflect upon, it is something that affects us in our lives. And that is, ikhwan, that the creation are mayyitun. That is, they will die when the appointed time comes to them. And that, brothers and sisters, is from the affairs that we strongly believe in. Kulli ajalin kitab. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions every decree has an appointed term. And that, brothers and sisters, is the reality of each and every one of us, regardless of how young or old we are. There is a time that Allah Azza wa Jalla has decreed for us that He will send the angel of death to us. And He will do as occurs in the hadith in the Sunnah of Imam al-Tirmidhi. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that when the appointed time of one of you comes, then Allah Azza wa Jalla sends the angel of death to him, and he sits at the head of that individual, and he has with him numerous angels that go as far back as the eye can see to the horizons. And so that individual, the angel of death, sits at his head. And those angels sit to the left and to the right of that individual. And they go as far back as the eye can see. Numerous angels. And then the angel of death, he removes the soul depending upon the life of that individual and the iman of that individual. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that if that individual was a righteous individual, then his soul will be removed from the body with ease, and it will leave the body as water leaves a watering skin. And then no sooner does the angel of death take that soul, except that it is passed to those accompanying angels. And those accompanying angels, they take his soul and they travel through the heavens. And each heaven that they traverse, pass and they cross, the angels and the inhabitants of that heaven, they say, "Who is this beautiful soul that has this beautiful smell?" And they will say that it is such and such, the son of such and such, and mention him with the best of his names and titles. And then he reaches the last heaven, and then they seek permission to enter into the presence of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah Azza wa Jal grants them permission. And then Allah Azza wa Jal commands that that soul be written in Illiyin. That is, it be written in the register of the righteous souls. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to write our souls in that register. And then the soul is returned to its body. When it is returned to its body, that soul is then visited by two angels, Munkar and Nakir, who are dark and have blue eyes and are frightening in terms of their countenance. And it will be said to him, "Sit up." And then he will be asked those three fundamental questions. Those three questions, ikhwan, that the future success of that individual is dependent upon. Man Rabbuk, Ma Deenuk, Wa Man Hadha Ar-Rajul Alladhi Bu'itha Ilayk. Who is your Lord? What was your deen? And who was that man that was sent to you? The Messenger informed us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the believer will say, "My Lord is Allah, my deen is Islam, and that man, he was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And it will be said to the one who answered in that manner, "Rest," that he would have answered correctly. It will be said to him, "Rest," and his grave will be opened up and become expansive, and a door will open to him from the doors of Jannah. He will be shown his place in the hellfire, had his end result, and had his questions landed him in the hellfire. And then the sweet fragrance of Jannah will come to him. And then he will be visited by a beautiful man. And he will say, "Who are you? For indeed your countenance is beautiful." And he will say, "Verily, I am your righteous deeds. So that man will say, "Oh Allah, hasten the day, hasten the day." Desiring to enter Jannah. And the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, as far as the wretched soul, when the angel of death comes to remove his soul, in some riwayat and some versions of the hadith, it mentions that it will attempt to flee within the body. It will attempt to flee and avoid the angel of death within the body. And the angel of death will seize it, and then will remove that soul from the body. The Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said that it will be a heinous removal, and that it will resemble a skewer being pulled through wet wool. That is, that the soul will be ripped through the body, ripped out of the body. The Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that then no sooner does the angel of death remove the soul, except that the angels who are behind him take that soul, travel with it through the heavens, and it does not traverse a heaven except that the inhabitants of that heaven, from the angels, they will say, "Who is this wretched, putrid soul that has this putrid stench?" And it will be said, "Such and such, the son of such and such," and he will be mentioned by the worst of his names. And then a permission will be sought to traverse the last heaven, and permission will not be given to that soul. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will say, "Write that soul in Sijjin." That is a register for the wretched souls. And then the soul will be returned to its body, and it will be made to sit up. And when it is made to sit up, those same three questions will be posed to it. مَنْ رَبُّكَ مَا دِينُكَ وَمَنْ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ. Who is your Lord? What was your deen? And who was that man that was sent to you? The Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said that that individual, you will respond by saying, لَا أَدْرِي. Second question, لَا أَدْرِي. Third question, لَا أَدْرِي. I do not know. Some of the versions of the hadith mentioned that he will say that I heard the people saying such and such, and so I followed them. It was not upon certainty and true iman himself. I heard the people saying such and such, so I just followed them. And then he will be hit with a mallet that will cause him to let out a scream and a cry. The Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if the children of Adam could hear it, they would die. And then the grave constricts him and crushes him. And the Messenger interlocked his fingers, indicating how his ribs would be interlocked within the grave. And then a door is opened to Jahannam, and he will receive from its heat and its stench. And then a horrid man with a horrid face will come to him, and he will say, "Woe is you, who are you?" And he will say, "I am your evil deeds." And then that man will say, "Oh Allah, distance the day, distance the day." Reality, ayyuhal ikhwa, that is not just something that we study, not just some exercise in aqeedah, ikhwan. It is our firm belief, something that we live and we die upon. So the Imam mentioned that ikhwan being from the affairs of our aqeedah. He then continues, ثُمَّ هُمْ بَعْدَ الدَّقْتَةِ فِي الْقُبُورِ مُسَأَلُونَ. An issue related to the grave. We mentioned the affair in the grave and the questioning in the grave. But there is another issue, ikhwan, that is to be mentioned alongside the questioning. First and foremost, as far as the questioning itself is concerned, it will not be based upon that which a person knows or that which he has heard. It will be based upon that which he believed in and how he lived his life. And secondly, Ikhwan, it is on the basis of this that the well-known book, the Usul al-Thalatha of Shaykh al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, it was on the basis of these three questions that he wrote his book around the three questions that we will be asked in our grave. And that is the intent behind these three fundamentals. The three issues that we will be questioned about in our grave. It is imperative that we acquaint ourselves with them. But the issue, Ikhwan, that the Imam is mentioning here is that he said, ثُمَّ هُمْ بَعْدَ الدَّغْتَةِ فِي الْقُبُورِ مُسَاءَلُونَ. That is, he mentions an issue that will come prior to the questioning. And that is that he says that indeed they, after the daghta, after the compression of the grave, they will be questioned. After the compression of the grave, they will be questioned. And that, Ikhwan, is in accordance with that which is establishing the authentic sunnah. And that is that there is not one of us, there is no individual, except that he will receive a daghta in the grave. Except that he will receive compression within the grave. There is no one that will escape it, regardless of how righteous and upright he is. There is no one that will escape the compression that will occur within the grave. And that no doubt is from the Aqeedah of Al-Sunnati wal-Jama'ah. And that is why we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla for thabat. The Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentioned, Ikhwan, as a cousin, that hadith that is collected by Imam Ahmad and by Imam Ibn Hibban and others. He mentioned, Lil qabri daghtatun, law naja minha ahadun, la naja minha Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that in the grave there is compression. And if anyone was going to escape it, then it would have been Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. That is no doubt, Ikhwan, on the basis of the great station that Sa'd ibn Mu'adh had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh was from the Ansar, Ikhwan, from those who, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina, Sa'd ibn Mu'ad and Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul were both on the verge of being crowned leaders of Medina. They were both on the verge of becoming leaders of Medina. As far as Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and the people wished for no leader other than the Messenger of Allah, Abdullah ibn Sa'd ibn Ubay ibn Sa'd, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, he took to Nifaq and became the leader of the Munafiqeen, the leader of the hypocrites in Medina. Pretend to be a believer when in actuality his intent was to fight against the believers from within, to weaken their ranks, and to spread this Nifaq as much as possible among the people. Thus Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned concerning him and his life, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. That indeed the munafiqeen are in the lowest rank of the hellfire. On the other hand, we had Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, he believed in the Messenger of Allah. Prior to him coming, he gave up his rank and his station for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gladly, and thus that caused him to be raised in rank, or it's from the reasons that he was raised in rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the extent that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, when Sa'd ibn Mu'adh died, the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shook, the throne of Allah azza wa jal shook. And here the Messenger made mention of another one of the manaqib and the praiseworthy characteristics of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, and that is that Sa'd mentioned, every single one of you will receive a compression in the grave, and if anyone was going to escape it, then it would have been Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. Some of Ahlul Ilm, they mentioned that that compression that occurs in the grave, it will differ from person to person. And it may be for that some of the believers, that for some of the believers, this will be a form of punishment and purification from sins. That the believer, if he is righteous and upright, then it will not be a punishment for him. But he will still feel and receive that compression within his grave. And so, ikhwan, that is something that will occur prior to the questioning of Munkar and Nakir. Then the Imam mentioned Al-Nushur wal-Hisab, the resurrection and the reckoning. The resurrection and the reckoning. He mentions وَبَعْدَ الْبِلَى مَنْشُورُونَ وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ مَحْشُورُونَ وَلَدَ الْعَرْضِ عَلَيْهِ مُحَاسَبُونَ بِحَضْرَةِ الْمَوَازِينَ وَنَشْرِ صُحُفِ الدَّوَاوِينَ أَحْصَاهُ اللَّهُ وَنَسُوهُ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ 50,000 سَنَةً لَوْ كَانَ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ الْحَاكِمُ بَيْنَ خَلْقِهِ وَلَكِنَّهُ اللَّهُ يَلِي الْحُكْمَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِعَدْلِهِ بِمِقْدَارِ الْقَائِلَةِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَهُوَ أَسْرَعُ الْحَاسِبِينَ كَمَا بَدَأَهُ لَهُمْ مِنْ شَقَاوَةٍ وَصَعَادَةٍ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَعُودُونَ فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. The Imam mentioned, and then afterwards, that is after they become decomposed, they will be resurrected. And on the day of judgment, they will be gathered together in front of their Lord. And in His presence, they will be exposed, or they will be presented before Him for their reckoning. The Imam, he mentioned, and Allah Azza wa Jal will keep count, or keep count of it while they forgot it. And that, subhanAllah, ikhwan, is the reality of many. أَحْصَاهُ اللَّهُ وَنَسُوهُ. That Allah Azza wa Jal kept count of it, kept count of their deeds, their actions, the reality of that day, while many forget it. He continues that this will occur on a day the length of which will be 50,000 years if anyone other than Allah were to judge between His creation. However, Allah Azza wa Jalla will deliver the judgment between them with justice in a length of time, the length of a midday nap. And He is the fastest of reckoners. Concerning this affair, the Imam, he ends that last or that statement as he began them, from wretchedness and unhappiness and bliss, so shall they return on that day, a group in paradise and a group in the hellfire. No doubt it is established that when the soul is blown into the body and into the fetus of an individual, but from the affairs that is written, is whether he is wretched or whether he is in bliss. Whether he is wretched or whether he will be successful. That is something that will manifest itself in Al-Qiyamah. And so here, the Imam, he mentions that which is related to the Nushur and the Hisab. That is, that which is related, ayyuh al-ikhwa, to a reality that will take place. And that is the resurrection, death, and the day of judgment. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned concerning that, إِنَّكُمْ مَحْشُورُونَ حُفَاتٌ عُرَاتٌ, that indeed you will be gathered naked and uncircumcised. When the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam made that statement, Aisha radiallahu anha, she was taken aback. And she said, O Messenger of Allah, will the people not be looking at each other naked and uncircumcised? And so the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, O Aisha, indeed the affair will be far greater than for them to be concerned with that. The day, brothers and sisters, that Allah Azza wa Jal has referred to many references in the Quran. Yawm al-Hasra, Yawm al-Taghabun, it is the day of regret, the day of noise and clamor, the day of the violent sound. Yawm yafirru al-mar'u min akhihi wa ummihi wa abi wa sahibatihi wa bani li kulli imri'in yawma idhin sha'nun yughnih. The day that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, the day yafirru al-mar'u min akhihi, the day that a man will flee from his brother and from his mother, ummihi wa abi, and from his father and from his wife and from his children. Every individual will have an affair on that day that will be seen. Brothers and sisters, if you reflect upon the reality of that day, most people in these trying circumstances and difficulties, they generally resort to family. They generally resort to one's wife, one's spouse. They generally resort to discussing the affair with the children or with the elders or with one's uncles or those who one respects from among the family members. But here Allah Azza wa Jal establishes the reality of that day. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ, it is the day that mankind will flee from his brother. وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِي, from his mother, from his father, from his wife, from his children. Everyone on that day will have an affair that will busy him. Everyone will be concerned concerning himself on that day. Everyone will be concerned about his own salvation on that day, because he recognizes that after today, there is one destination. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ. Just as Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned, in the hereafter, there is either severe punishment or forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal and His good pleasure, one of those two things. And thus we should not be beguiled by the life of this world alone. Allah mentions, اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُ وَزِينَةٌ وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارُ نَبَاتُهُ ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, no, that the life of this world is لعب ولهو, play and amusement, a beautification, a mutual boasting and rivalry, and the mutual amounting of wealth and children. كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته, just like rain that amazes the tiller, the farmer, the vegetation that it brings forward. And that vegetation grows and blossoms. ثُمَّ يَهِيج, then it wilts and begins to droop. فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًّا, and you see it becoming yellow. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا, and then it becomes a straw. That is the reality of the life of this dunya, and we should not be beguiled by it. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ, but in the hereafter, there is عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ, there is either severe punishment, وَلِيَاذَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ, or forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal and His good pleasure. And indeed the life of this dunya is nothing but a passing amusement. And so, ikhwan,
the iman that he establishes, that which is present from the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and that is that he mentions the establishment of the Day of Judgment, the Day of Reckoning. And that which will be established on that day are from that which he mentions, the Mawazin. And that is that the scales will be erected on that day. And they are literal scales. And there are numerous things that will be weighed in accordance with our aqidah and our belief. On that day, in those scales, the scrolls of good deeds shall be weighed. On that day, in those scales, the actions themselves shall be weighed. And on that day, in the scales, human beings themselves shall be weighed. Those three things are established in text that they will be weighed on the Day of Judgment. The scroll of deeds, the actions, and human beings. And that, brothers and sisters, they are a literal scale. And it is not metaphoric, it is not representative of anything, but it is a literal scale. And the scrolls, the Quran, will be opened and will be made apparent. And the reckoning, ayyuha al-ikhwa, will occur on that day. And Allah Azza wa Jalla's anger will have reached a level that it has not reached previously prior to that. And that, brothers and sisters, will cause the people to sweat and to enter into a state of fear. And the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that the people will sweat in accordance with their deeds. From them are those who will sweat till the sweat covers their feet. From them are those who will sweat till the sweat reaches their shins. Some of them the ankles. From them are those who will sweat till the sweat reaches their knees. From them are those who will sweat until the sweat reaches their thighs or their waists. Some of them to their chests, and others will have bridles of sweat. And the individuals will wish for the reckoning to begin. And they will go to the prophets and the messengers. And they will say, Ishfa' lana. ألا ترى ما نحن فيه ألا ترى ما بلغنا. That they will go to the prophets and the messengers one by one saying, intercede for us. Do you not see what we are in? Do you not see what has become of us? Waiting for the reckoning to begin. And so they will go to Nuh, and Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, he will say, Nafsi, Nafsi. Or they will go to Adam prior to Nuh, and they will say that you are Adam, you are the one that Allah Azza wa Jal has created with his hand. Ala tara ma nahnu fi? Ala tara ma balaghana? Do you not see what we are in? Do you not see what has come of us? Make intercession for us with your Lord. Make intercession for us with Allah Azza wa Jal. And he will say that indeed I committed a sin that there was no right for me to commit today. Nafsi, Nafsi, myself, myself. And they will go to Noah, and he will say, Nafsi, Nafsi. And they will go to Musa, and he will say, after they say to him, indeed you are the one that Allah Azza wa Jal spoke to directly. And they will say, verily I killed a man that I had no right and no authority to kill. Nafsi, Nafsi. And they will continue to ask until they come to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when they come to Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, the messenger will say, Ana laha, ana laha. He will say, I am for it. I am for it. And then he will take some steps. He will walk. And then he will fall in prostration. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will inspire him with mahamid and with forms of praise that he will not know up until that day. And he will praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that which he is ahlu and that which he deserves from praise. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that Allah Azza wa Jalla will say, Irfa' ra'sak, raise your head. Sal, tu'ta,
ask and you will be granted. Ishfa' tushaffa', make intercession and your intercession will be accepted. And then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say, Ummati, Ummati, my Ummah, my Ummah. That, brothers and sisters, no doubt is known as the Shafa'atul Kubra, the major Shafa'a that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam will carry out, and there will be other intercessions that he will make for his Ummah. The reckoning, ayyuha al-ikhwa, will not be easy, but it is something that is established, something that we believe in. And then those who are present will be made to cross the Sirat after their reckoning, which is the bridge over the hellfire that is as thin as a hair, as sharp as a sword, and upon its path there are claws and hooks that will take individuals, and people will cross it in accordance with their iman and their deeds. Some will cross as fast as lightning, others will cross like a fast riding horse, others like a camel, others will run, others will walk, and some will crawl upon their knees, and others, ikhwan, will be taken by those hooks and will be hurled into the hellfire. That, brothers and sisters, no doubt is a day that each and every one of us has to prepare for. Imam then he continues, wa ahlul jannati yawma idhin fil jannah yatana'amun wa bi sunufil ladhati yataladdhun wa bi afdhalil al karamat yuhabbarun aw yuhbarun. He mentions that indeed ahlul jannah yawma idhin, Ahlul Jannah on that day shall be in bliss, in paradise. They will be delighting in all sorts of pleasures, and they will have the most excellent favors bestowed upon them. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from its inhabitants. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal has informed us in numerous verses in the Quran concerning its bliss and its delights, gardens beneath which rivers flow, mansions within paradise, large mansions. Allah Azza wa Jal, as the Messenger informed us, there will be mansions, one brick of gold, one brick of silver, and the cement between them will be misk. Likewise, the Messenger ﷺ informed us, إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ لَشَجَرَةً يَسِيرُ الرَّاكِبُ فِي ذِلِّهَا مِئَةَ سَنَةً لَا يَقْطَعُهَا. He mentioned that indeed in Jannah there is a tree that the riding person will traverse and will travel across its shadow the period of 100 years and will still not cross its shadow. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed the Quran, and the ahadith are many, and if it were not for the fact that our sittings are short, the Quran would have mentioned some of them, mentioning the bliss of Jannah. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was approached on an occasion by a Bedouin who said, O Messenger of Allah, I did not know that in Jannah there will be that which is harmful. And so the man said, and what is that? Or rather, the Messenger of Allah responded, what is that? And what are you referring to? And so he said, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned low trees. What is known is that the low tree, it has thorns upon it. And so the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, but no. Have you not read the statement of Allah? Thornless low trees? He said, verily Allah Azza wa Jal will replace its thorns with fruit. And he said that those fruits will have 72 different colors. each color having a different taste. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam likewise informed us of the fact that from the bliss of Jannah, when an individual approached the Messenger from the Bedouin Arabs and said, "O Messenger of Allah, أنا أحب الخير, I love horses, will there be horses in Jannah?" The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded by saying, "Indeed, in Jannah, if one of you wills, there will be, and he will receive a horse made from emerald and made from ruby that will have wings that will fly with him through Jannah wherever he wills." Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned that they will have whatever they yashtahoon, whatever they desire. It is just a thought for them. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam likewise mentioned that they will have no hair, there is no bodily hair. They will not have mucus. The women of Jannah will have no menses. And there will be no sleep. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, when he was asked, "Will there be noom in Jannah, Ya Rasulullah? Will there be sleep in Jannah, Ya Rasulullah?" The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "An-noom akhul maut, wa la yanamu ahli Jannah." He said that indeed sleep is the brother of death, and the people of Jannah will not sleep. There will be no sun in Jannah. In Jannah, brothers and sisters, there will be a beautiful atmosphere. And the source of its beauty will not be the sun. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us of the fact that within Jannah, the rivers of Jannah, ikhwan, they flow not dug into the ground, but upon the surface of the soil of Jannah. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam likewise informed of the fact that within Jannah there will be, from its bliss, music and singing. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that in Jannah there is a river that crosses the whole of Jannah. He said, upon both banks of that river there will be maidens from the maidens of Jannah. And he said that those maidens shall be standing facing each other, and they shall sing, and that which they shall sing will be from the greatest of the bliss, or that which the people of Jannah hear from their singing will be from the greatest of the bliss of Jannah. Every form of bliss that one receives in the dunya, it will be intensified in the hereafter. Even intimacy. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that a man will receive the strength of 100 men for intimacy that will occur in Jannah. It is from its bliss. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us, ikhwan, that within Jannah, if an individual desires a child, then its conception, pregnancy, and childbirth will be within a lahba, will be within a moment. Bliss, ikhwan, within a dar, a land that Allah Azza wa Jal, and an abode that Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned, أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ, that I have prepared for my righteous servants that which no eye has seen and no ear has heard, and it has not occurred to the heart of any individual. And that, brothers and sisters, no doubt is from the Aqeedah and from the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. On that day though, Ikhwan, within Jannah, there'll be a day that is known as Yawm al-Mazid, the day of al-Mazid. And perhaps we'll mention that, Ikhwan, in the next session, bi-idhnillah. Allahu ta'ala a'lam. صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. طيب إخواننا, what we'll do then, we'll finish this one more paragraph that we will mention and add to what we've mentioned, and that will bring us up to a nice point to begin the last session and the last sitting. As far as the last of the paragraphs is concerned, then it is the statement of one of the Imam, for whom he na'idin ila rabbihim yandurun la yumaruna fil nadari ilayhi wa la yashukun fawjuhuhum bi karamatihi nadira وأعينهم بفضله إليه ناظرة في نعيم دائم مقيم لا يمسهم فيها نصب ولا هم فيها بمخرجين. Likewise mentioned the statement of Allah عز وجل, أكلها دائم وذلها تلك عقب الذين اتقوا وعقب الكافرين النار. He said, وأهل الجهد عن ربهم يومئذ مأجوبون وفي النار يسجرون لبئس ما قدمت لهم أنفسهم أن سخط الله عليهم وفي العذاب هم خالدون لا يقضى عليهم فيموتوا ولا يخفف عنهم من عذابها كذلك نجزي كل كفور خلى من شاء الله من الموحدين إخراجهم منها. He mentions, so at that point they will look upon their Lord, that is the believers, if one of their enter Jannah. They will look upon their Lord, and they will not yumaruna, they will not have to compete with each other to see him and to look at him, and they will not be in doubt. Their faces will be shining and illuminated by his generosity, and their eyes will be gazing upon him, his excellence. They will reside there in a state of perpetual happiness. And as Allah said, no fatigue will touch them therein, nor from it will they ever be removed, yani from Jannah. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has said, and that verse was in Surah Al-Hijr, verse 48, Allah Azza wa Jalla has said, likewise, each fruit is everlasting and its shade. This is the consequence for the righteous. And the consequence of the disbelievers is the nar, is the hellfire. Surah Al-Ra'd, verse 35. And the people of obstinate rejection will be veiled from their Lord on that day, and they will be burned in the fire. He mentioned likewise the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, how wretched is that which they have put forth for themselves, in that Allah has become angry with them. And in punishment they will abide eternally. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has said,
that Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 18. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has said, and as for those who disbelieve, will be the fire of hell. And for those who disbelieve, will be the fire of hell. Death is not decreed for them so they may not die. Yani there is no death. And that is established on the hadith that on their judgment, after everything is decreed and the people have been categorized, that death will be brought in front of the people, in front of Ahlul Jannah and Ahlul Nar, in the form of a ram. In the form of a ram. And it will be slaughtered before them. And then an announcement will be made, O Ahlul Jannah, Hayatun wala maut. Ya Ahlul Nar, Hayatun wala maut. It will be said, O people of Jannah, life and no more death. And O people of the hellfire, life and no more death. That is eternal life. And it is at that point, similarly, from the things that will take place upon them will occur, is that the animals will be destroyed. The Messenger said that there will be recompense. The horned animal will be recompensed for that which it did to the non-horned animal, and then they will be destroyed. And when they are destroyed, it is at that time that the kuffar will say, Ya laytani kuntu turaba. If only I were dirt and I were turab. That is because when they observe the animals turn into turab and turn into that dirt, they will wish that for themselves. And so here the Imam continues, death is not decreed for them so that they may die, nor will its torment be lightened for them. That is Jahannam, thus will we recompense every ungrateful one. And then he mentioned Allah Azza wa Jalla will take out from it whosoever he wills from the people of Tawheed. And that, ikhwan, is the case as it relates to Ahl Tawheed, as occurs in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, that there will be individuals who will be punished from the people of Tawheed. And then that is that they will be punished for sins that they committed. They will be purified by them being made to enter Jahannam. That is, the believers from them will be those who will be made to enter Jahannam, but they will not remain in it forever. Ikhwan, it is on this basis that we warn against kufr, that we warn against shirk, that we warn against bid'ah. It is not in any way, shape or form that we are fanatical about any affair from the affairs of one. But it is that kufr, bid'ah and shirk lead to hellfire, lead to this evil, lead to this punishment that we study and that we believe in firmly. And we do not wish that for anyone, any of those who are around us from our brothers. We do not wish that for the kuffar that walk around us. Rather, we desire al-khayr lil-ghayr. We desire good for other people. We desire that they be removed from the hellfire, that they will be with Ahlul Jannah in Jannah, as we desire Jannah for ourselves. And that then, brothers and sisters, is what is the catalyst and is what prompts Ahlul Sunnah to warn against these characteristics. As the prophets and the messengers warned, they didn't warn, ikhwan. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam did not warn for 950 years because of any form of fanaticism. He understood, ikhwan, the reality of what it is he was calling to. And so he remained perseverant upon calling to Allah Azza wa Jalla, seeking that the people be guided and saved. What does Allah Azza wa Jalla tell us about the call of every single one of the prophets and the messengers? That they said to their people, Inni akhafu alaykum adhab yawmin azim. That indeed I fear for you the punishment of a great day. That is indicating clearly that they feared for them, that they wanted good for them. And so, this affair, then, ikhwan, is from the issues then that the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah, they mention in their books of Aqeedah, and they mention in their books of Mu'taqad and in the belief. And that, Ikhwan, is where we'll round up, inshaAllah. As far as the affair of looking at Allah Azza wa Jalla, no doubt it is from the affairs of the Aqeedah that we affirm, and there is no doubt a lengthy discussion concerning those who negate the ru'yah of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and negate the fact that Allah will be seen in the hereafter, why we're the same but of Allah, lan tarani, that you will not see me. But we say, Ikhwan, that indeed the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that Allah Azza wa Jalla will be seen in the hereafter. One of the clearest of the evidence in establishing that reality, and that which our scholars from among them, Imam Shafi'i and others, have mentioned, is that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions, إِنَّهُمْ يَوْمَعِذٍ إِنَّهُمْ عَرَّبِهِمْ يَوْمَعِذٍ لَمَهْجُوبُونَ, that indeed they on that day will be mahjubun, that is, they will be veiled and screened away from their Lord. They will not be able to see Allah, and it's the kuffar. And so our a'imma and the great imams, from the Imam Shafi'i, as we mentioned, he mentioned in relation to their claim that Allah Azza wa Jalla will not be seen, that he said, what virtue then does the believer have over the disbeliever? If, as you believe, the believers will not see Allah Azza wa Jalla either, what virtue then do we have over the disbelievers? And Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in the Quran, إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَهْجُوبُونَ, that they on that day will be veiled from their Lord. That it is a punishment for them. Which indicates then that seeing our Lord is from the rewards of Ahlul Iman, and from the rewards of the people of faith and Iman, to see Allah Azza wa Jalla, since it is a punishment for the people of the hellfire. And there is a clear evidence, Ikhwan, that the ru'yah and the seeing of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that it is a literal ru'yah, it is a literal seeing, a literal sighting. The Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that indeed you shall see, إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ, that verily you shall see your Lord, يوم القيامة كما ترون القمر ليلة البدر لا تضامون في رؤيتي. He mentioned that you will see your Lord just as you see the moon ليلة البدر. ليلة البدر, Ikhwan, is the 15th night of the month. The 15th night of the month is when the moon is full. The stages of the moon is that it starts as a crescent, and then it continues to get larger and larger until it becomes a full moon in the middle of the month, the 15th night of the month. And then it wanes again until it becomes a crescent and disappears again, the end of the month. And so the middle of the month is known as Laylatul Badr, or the night of the full moon. The Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said that verily you shall see your Lord just as you see the Qamar Laylat al-Badr. As our scholars mentioned, the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was resembling the sighting to the sighting, and not resembling Allah Azza wa Jalla to the moon. Rather, resembling the sighting to that sighting. That is, you will see him just as you see the moon. لا تضامون في رؤيتي. That is, you will not have to push and shove and compete with each other in order to see. It will be clear for you. And that then is what is affirmed by Ahlul Sunnah, that we affirm that Allah will be seen on the Qiyamah, without any need for anyone to compete with anyone in order to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, Ikhwan, on that note we round up. Allahu ta'ala a'lam, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. طيب, we have some of the books to give away from on the basis of your correct ijaba and your correct answering of some of the questions. From the Christians that we mention, or that we will mention, طيب. نعم. Mentioned that the Quran is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that there are two groups who have gone astray in regards to believing in it. We mentioned today specifically two groups that have gone astray in relation to the Quran. Anybody remember the two groups that we mentioned? Two groups from the groups of the past that have been astray in relation to the Quran.
Excellent. Tas. Yalla khud khud.
You have a choice.
Choice any one of them there.
For the sisters, I don't know if there's any paper around there, but as we said, like we said yesterday, when you write your answers, write them with your initial, just your initial on the paper, so we know who it is. We said, we said that there was a trial that took place with some of the earliest scholars concerning the Quran. There was a trial that took place with some of the earliest scholars concerning the Quran. What was the trial about? That is, what was the trial about?
It can't get any easier.
What was the trial about? There was a trial that took place among the some of the imam of the Salaf that had a connection with the government. For sisters. What was the trial about? If it is that all the sisters come later, then unless they knew, they know it previously, I think they did it. Were they there at that time?
Hey.
While the sisters reflect upon the answer to the question, we'll ask another question to the brothers. Tayyip, who was the imam? Bilash. who was the imam that was most famous for being tried and tested concerning the fitna, concerning his child? Because I was about to hear that answer. Send it to my Ahmad. Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Yeah, their question is, what was the child?
طيب
we mentioned mentioned that when a person enters his grave, he is visited by Munkar and Nakir, two angels. What is the description of those two angels, Munkar and Nakir? It's for the sisters. For the sisters.
They were here for that.
They were here for that, for sure. What is the description of the two angels that will visit you in the grave, Munkar and Nakir? How did the Prophet ﷺ describe them? Back to the brothers. Those two angels will ask three questions. Is that for the sisters? Number one, harsh and bad smelling, and number two, handsome and sweet smelling. No. You've misunderstood some fundamentals here. We don't describe any of the angels as being bad smelling, number one. And two, that was in reference to something else in the grave. That was not the angels. So whoever sent that was incorrect. Tayyib. Back to the brothers. We mentioned an authorship, and that is a book that was written around the three questions in the grave. A book, the whole subject matter of the book revolves around the three questions in the grave. What is that book? Again, we spoke about the questioning of the angels in the grave. That they will ask everyone that enters the grave will be asked three questions. Who is your Lord? What was your religion? Who was that man that was sent to you? And then we said that there is an important book that in essence all of us need to study and be on top of, that deals with those three questions in the grave. Huh? Yeah. Give me my faith. You have a couple of hours, isn't it?
I love you. Alexander,
no, that was for the brothers. Tell you back to the sisters. Spoke about the angel of death, and the duty of the angel of death. Once the angel of death does his duty, what does he do? Once the angel of death does his duty, as soon as he does his duty, what does he do to the sisters? So there is something the angel of death does. Once he does his duty, he does something. No, the usul of the last question was for the brothers. So the angel of death, this is for the sisters, the angel of death has a duty. Allah Azza wa Jal sends him to carry out a duty. And based upon his name, a quite obvious duty. Once he carries out his duty, what does he do? Incidentally, one, there is nothing that establishes that his name is Israel. That is not established as the name of the angel of death. Once he does his duty, as soon as he's done his duty, what does he do? They were waiting for that. Then back to the brothers. Mention the hadith connected to one of the bliss, or one of the forms of bliss in Jannah. That is that we said that in Jannah, the Messenger of Allah described that there is a tree that has on it fruits. Each fruit has 72 different colors. The Messenger of Allah said that each of those 72 different colors has a different flavor. Fruit, each individual fruit has 72 colors. We mentioned that those 72 colors each have a different detectable flavor. What tree was that in reference to?
So brothers and sisters, the brothers.
What tree was that in reference to? Huh?
Oh, you got this already.
All of them. Oh, who's is that? Is that unclaimed? Back to the sisters. We're waiting for about four responses for this. There's about four questions so far, no answer. Tayyib, we have to make it a little bit easier. Alright. This is mostly this one. If a person in Jannah desires a child, anything easier than this one? If a person in Jannah desires a child, what is it that occurs as it relates to their desires?
Key fundamentals has done.
Alright, don't have it instantly. Khalas, you can get him that one.
So we can send.
whoever just sent that piece of paper, they will have it instantly, then choose one of those books, inshallah. Back to the brothers. On an occasion, a Bedouin Arab said, "O Messenger of Allah, I love horses. Will there be horses in Jannah?" What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? And what would it be? This one for the sisters. There is something that will occur to every individual when they enter their grave. The sisters. Prophet Sallallahu said, if anybody was going to escape it, it would have been Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. Compression in the grave, that's out.
Sisters.
Yeah.
Huh? Come quick. Time. Last question for the brothers.
Can we ask a question?
You ask it.
Yeah.
Bismillah.
The brother mentioned a hadith, right? He didn't mention, he didn't give the answer, right? But I just want to see if anybody knew the answer. He mentioned a hadith, and it's a very long hadith. And he mentioned a book that he got the hadith from, it's Jamia Tirmidhi, right? It's a very long hadith describing the good soul and the evil soul, and what will happen to the good soul and the evil soul. And this is, if you had to find one dalil, Usul al-Thalata, you could use this as a wonder. The question is, who is the narrator of that hadith? No, because it's important, because people refer to the hadith with his name. So you should know the name of the person who narrated
it. If you don't, if you can't, if nobody can guess it, we'll set it for homework. Come on that. Come on that. That's a good homework. If you get it, for Wednesday, two books. You don't want to get that. That's for Wednesday. And the last question. We want one more. All right, one more. But this is for the brothers and the sisters. I can't remember. Brothers and sisters. Thank you. No, that's not the best one. All right, I'll tell you what then. Whoever gets the question now will determine whether the question is for the brothers or for the sisters. If you get the answer, then that determines whether it is for the brothers or for the sisters. Jimmy. We mentioned We mentioned that on the Day of Judgment, something will be, it's not really fair, but you're going to call out and they won't be able to write it in time. Alright, something will be erected on the Day of Judgment. Something will be erected on the Day of Judgment. What will it be?
Mizan.
What will it be? Mizan. He says. Hey, that was really funny.
Give it to your sister.
And this one gets, yeah, actually, let's get to the sisters then, because you know why? They only answered about two questions.
Yeah.
And there was about seven over this side. So the last question then for the sisters. When we mentioned the scales, we said that three things will be weighed on the scale. Things will be weighed on the scale for sisters. What are the three different things that will be weighed on the scales? Again, when we mention the scales, that is the scroll of good deeds, the humans themselves, and the actions. Inshallah, we'll round up on that note. Barakallahu feekum wa ahsan ilaykum wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad.